Dublin is a very conversational place. I mean, that's its stereotyped image, but it's true. And that, you know, in a city like London, you know, when the traffic lights turn green, everywhere is go, 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 go. And the cars are going, you know, 60 miles an hour around the corner. In Dublin, the lights turn green, people just put it into gear, sit back, take off. I think it's true to say that Dublin is in a state of amber, where people aren't so wrapped up in the business of getting on and getting on alone. And that has its problems, okay? But I think it has its values. And it means that Dublin is quite rich in its conversation, in its art, you know? A lot of people can play musical instruments, actually. A lot of street musicians. In the pubs, and this is probably a big influence, in the pubs and in small rooms after people come back from the public houses, people will always sing. They always say the Singing Irish Pub, but it is a tradition, and everybody is a part of that. And I can remember my uncles as they would sing. You know, and as they would give and tell stories, you know. This sounds like, I mean, I don't come from the west of Ireland, I come from the city, and this is still going on. We were all thrown together at a place called Mount Temple Comprehensive School. It was it wasn't a school for rejects, but a lot of rejects went there. A lot of people who didn't work out at other schools. Clayton, the bass player, had been thrown out of a very middle-class English public school called Columbus. And he arrived head first at the doorstep of Mount Temple. It was experimental only in that it was multi-denominational, Protestant, Catholic, mixed boys and girls, and it was quite a free rein given to us. It was a pleasure to be there, actually. It wasn't unlike, say, someone like Geldof from the Rats, who was raised by the sort of leather by the Christian Brothers and had sort of pumped into him. You know, and of course he's grown up with a chip on his shoulder and a sort of bitterness against that. We had nothing like that. Again, we were just a street gang. You know, it was no plan. In fact, I didn't know the Edge. I was hanging around with Googie from the Prunes and Gavin. Gavin a bit later, mostly Googie and Strongman. And we had our own thing going together, except that we went to different schools. And then as we realized that we weren't fitting in, as we realized we were square pegs in round hole, it was quite by chance we arrived to play music together. And we couldn't play. So whenever we tried to play other people's music, it didn't work out. So we had to learn to make up our own music. So our own music arose out of not being able to copy. We tried. I mean, we tried working out versions of Jumping Jack Flash, you know, because in 76, when we formed as a band, we were into it. You know, we were a garage band from garage land. And we wanted to be able to do it, but we couldn't. We couldn't do it because we hadn't got the expertise. And at the same time, we weren't satisfied with the three chord. Oi, 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 oi. We wanted more. My melodies used to ride over the music rather than da 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 da, like this. So that's how the band came together. In 1976, when the so-called punk rock explosion happened in London, its effect in Dublin was, I have to say, quite a middle class one. Was the people who had, you know, were aware of it because they'd been reading the music press. They were aware of changes in fashion. So they started to wear the leather jackets, okay? They started to put studs in their nose and they started making the music. I include U2 and the Virgin Prunes in that. I'm not saying we were well off, but we weren't really suffering. And that was what the movement was supposed to come out of, real suffering. But those then, when ourselves and the Prunes were walking down Grafton Street, which is this sort of like the King's Road of London. The working class kids were kicking football. And it was only 2 years later, in 1978, that I remember punk rock actually becoming a part of the working classes, where the inner city and the people who were really suffering at the hands of mistakes in government and the like started to get into music, you know, and they started to cut their hair, and that started to become an expression. Groups in Dublin like The Blades, groups in Dublin like The Threat, people like this started coming out. And for a while, they, I think, held a real torch. We just grew up. We grew up together, again, with a feeling that we didn't want to fit in. We didn't want, actually, to go as the people on our street were going. On our street, it was the tradition was to, you know, to grow up, to get a job, be it a good job, be it a bad job, you know, go drinking, you know, Thursday night, drinking Friday night, drinking Saturday night, drinking Sunday night, go out with the wife or go out with your girlfriend on the Monday, that type of thing. And we couldn't understand it. And I can even remember at sort of 9 years old, we used to sit at the street corner. We probably used to throw stones at Gavin because we probably didn't like him then. And used to watch people smoking. And we found it very interesting, this phenomenon, smoking, and we used to try it out, you know, and kind of copy the way people did it, because we found it so idiotic. We found it extremely funny, the idea. We used to laugh. I can remember summers spent just laughing over what other people took very seriously. And he was always very crazy, in the sense that he loves like fields. He loves to go into the countryside and play with frogs and things. I'm quite serious here. This is the truth. And I used to go along with him. And I've always enjoyed his company. The two of us used to paint together when we were very young. He was a more detailed artist than I. Whereas I used to splash the paint on, and maybe a bit more aggressive. And my father used to paint as well, and he used to sort of look down, and he used to think there was a future for Googie, but never for me. That was always the way. The same with music, same with anything. But so that's the way we kind of grew up. We grew up, you know, stealing each other's girlfriends and that sort of thing. When we were a garage band in Garageland, you know, it was sort of all, we used to sweat and pump out the music, and as soon as, after 40 minutes, I'd break down, I'd collapse in a heap on the floor, and Gavin and Googie would climb up on the stage, and they would take over, and that's how the Prunes started. Uh-huh. Like, they used to sort of, they would take over, you know? People would say, who are these guys, you know? Because they were always crazy. And that's interesting, because my painting was much more abstract than his. Whereas our music is not more abstract than the Virgin Prunes. We have a purpose to our music, which is to make it communicative on some levels. In that I feel that in 1983, there's people and they don't have much money. I don't have much money. And when they come to see a concert, you know, they want and they deserve everything you have to give them. They deserve a commitment. And the barrier between the stage and the floor should be broken down. And our music is a music that tries to give to that. We use the guitar because it's a cutting force, it's a cutting edge, you know, and it breaks through. And that I don't like music that wanders too much. You know, I think things only work in contrast. I like a pastel piece like October, which is just a phrase, musical phrase for us, in comparison then to something like With a Shout. Wow. I like to use those contrasts. I enjoy the medium we're working in, and I don't think that actually to be different, you do not have to saw your guitar in half, you know, and say, now that's different, right? In our music, we see no need to be extravagantly different. In our music, we see no need to prove we're different all the time, you know? And that's for us. Now, the Prunes love, they want to stretch that medium, and I admire that. But for us, we're working in slightly subtler areas, you know, and it's the way that we like. I like this record. I like the feeling of the concert. I like that elation. I like that feeling. I think it's good when people walk into a building and they're tense with each other, and they're nervous of each other. And then when the concert is over, they're bumping into each other, they have their arms around each other, there's a peace has come into that place. And for me, you can tell a tree by its fruits. And I go along and I see some other concerts from other bands, and I see that tension before, and I see that tension after. And I say, well, what is your music doing? Where is it bringing people? And they say, well, we've got to enlighten people. And I say, I want you to leave the room, because there's such a condescending attitude coming down from the stage in this last years, where the performers believe they have to lead the sheep, which are the audience, you know, into some enlightenment. And I've no time for that. People are to be respected from all walks. Anyway, back to the paintings. I don't think it's true that my style of painting and Googie's style of painting is actually very relevant to the music, because the preciseness of U2's music probably comes from the Edge's intelligence, whereas the craziness of the Prunes probably comes from maybe Dick, who's the Edge's brother, his craziness, because the two of them are completely different as brothers. They've both very large IQs, very, very bright. And, I mean, Dick was actually paid by the Irish government to go to college. You know? It's actually here's money. He was that good. And, but he never had any wish to want to, I don't think, to want to communicate a kind of, in the way that we would want to. Punk rock in Ireland was far more real in some ways than it was in London or Paris, because it was an awful lot to do with fashion and clothes in London and Paris, whereas the Irish aren't that caught up in fashion and clothes. So it was more of the gut feeling. When I talk about Dublin as being quiet, when I talk about it as being lyrical, I'm not just selling a postcard for the place. I'm just saying this is its overall feel in comparison to a city like London. But beneath that, in the foundations of the city, in the foundations of Dublin, there's a rottenness. You know, there's an inner city where people are being pushed out of, and there's an aggression. And I, coming from suburbia, feel totally unequipped to be able to talk about that, because I lived in a sort of semi-detached house in suburbia, and you know, I had food and I had places, you know, I had things to eat. And what bugs me about punk rock in most of Europe is that it came out of the middle classes. Now, what does that say? What does it say when you see the Undertones, who come from Derry, from the heart of violence, writing pop songs, singing about their girlfriends, mm-hmm. and the Clash, who come from art school, write about aggression. I don't know, I'm just thinking this aloud, because mm-hmm. this has been on my mind recently, because mm-hmm. it's so much of this music that we're so wrapped up in doesn't come from where the real aggression in the city is.
On the other hand, you had the album that Stiffly the Fingers did, their very first album, mm-hmm. Inflammable really? Material.
Mm-hmm. Stiffly the Fingers are a case in point, because they are, whether they like it or not, far more middle class than the Undertones were. Right? They were not in the heat of the struggle, as were the Undertones. Still, Alternative Ulster is one of my favorite records of all time. Still, I think Stiff Little Fingers made one of the greatest LPs in flammable material of all time. So maybe it doesn't matter what class you come from. Maybe it's just your commitment. I think that's got to be what it comes down to, you know? And they believed in what they were doing at the time. But it is interesting to note. I love Ireland and I hate Ireland. You know, I love it because maybe it's everything I know and you, because I see a people with a real heart. But I hate its bitterness and I hate what happened yesterday. You know, when somebody let off a bomb without warning in a discotheque and maimed many, many, many people, killing, I don't know what the death toll is. And I was just driving, I was in London, and it came on the news. It was 7 o'clock and we were coming over here, we were catching the ferry, and I was out of the country, and it came on the radio, and I just wept. I couldn't stop weeping, because I felt so sick inside. A song I felt I had to write, and a song that I was afraid to write, was Sunday Bloody Sunday. A lot of thought over the years has gone into whether I was in a position, because I came from Dublin, to write about Belfast or to write about Derry. Well, I believe I'm an Irishman, and I believe I have the right to sing this song. Sunday Bloody Sunday was a landmark in the Troubles in Northern Ireland. It was when British troops opened fire on a civil rights march and 13 people were killed. I'm not pointing the finger at the British troops. I feel sorry for the people who pulled the trigger, as I feel sorry for the victims. I don't think there's an easy solution to what's going on in Ireland. I think a change of heart, as I said in Like a Song, is what we need. Sunday Bloody Sunday is not a rebel song. It simply says, why are we so wrapped up in this struggle over a piece of land and supposed differences in doctrine, when the real battle, which is putting the city back on its feet again, which is putting food in people's bellies around the world, while the real battle rages, we are fighting over small, insignificant aspects of politics. We've made a record called War, and tried to write it about war on many different levels. War in the family, war between lovers, factions, you know, punk rock, heavy metal. I hate factions. I don't think youth should be divided. Mm-hmm. So we've called this album War. This song, which is called Like a Song, I've tried to show up the rebel song for what it is. I've tried to show up the piousness of some youth music, where we think we can change the world, and we're pointing the finger, and really we ourselves are trying nothing to change it. I've met a lot of people in bands, and what they say and what they do are two different things. This is Like a Song.